I was asked by Rabbi Leibowitz this morning to address a topic. Stam is like, you know, I guess any other profession, that here and there are scandals that come up, and there's never a dull moment. And at the moment, the current scandal racking the Stam world is an issue with the Tikkuns. I'm not going to say the name of the Tikkun because know that it's relevant to say it, certainly not on tape. I can tell it to you afterwards if you want to know, but let's call it the Goldberg Tikkun. It's not the Goldberg Tikkun, but we'll call it the Goldberg Tikkun. What is a Tikkun? A Tikkun is as follows. Well, anyone who's a Baal Koyrin knows that if they want to prepare the parsha, so they use a Tikkun Koyrin. A Tikkun Koyrin is a text which resembles the text that one will see in the Sefer Torah. And if the Baal Koyrin has the text in front of him, he'll be able to prepare. He'll be able to prepare. He'll be able to prepare the Kriya so that he can have the laying down pat. Now, a Tikkun Koyrim has nothing to do with what's known as a Tikkun Seifrim. A Tikkun Seifrim is the following. A Seifer, when he's writing a Sefer Torah, it used to be, until 100 years ago, a Seifer was writing a Sefer Torah, took a quill, took ink, cloth, and he sat down and he wrote, and the Sefer Torah came out however it came out. So if you take 10 random Sefer Torah that were written 200 years ago, all 10 will have a different setup. In other words, 200 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible to print a Tikkun Koyrim, because the Tikkun Koyrim is based on the idea that every Sefer Torah has the same setup. So that didn't exist. Around 100 years ago, a fellow came along, and he wrote a Sefer Torah, and he, I don't know, they didn't have photocopies, but whatever they had, he somehow copied that text of the Sefer Torah, and he printed it as a Tikkun Seifrim. And what that enabled Seifrim to do was to copy from that Tikkun. So he would have in front of him his klaf and his ink. Over here, he'd be writing. And over here, he would have a photo of that column in the Sefer Torah, and he would copy exactly that Tikkun. And that's the way it was for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it was. Approximately 60 years ago, I think it was, maybe 50 years ago, there was a Yid in Yerushalayim. His name was Menachem Davidovich. And he was the most talented Seifer who lived in the last 100 years. And he had this, he was like a genius in Stam. He had this ability to write mamish like kamat, like a computer. Everything came out exactly perfect. So what Menachem Davidovich did was, he took the existing Tikkun and he perfected it. He made it much better. He made the spacing better. He took the Tikkun and he played around with it, and he made a much, much, much better Tikkun, which Seifrim were able to copy from. And that's what Seifrim used for a few decades. They used what's called the Davidovich Tikkun. You can still get it in the stores. I don't know exactly when it was. Probably, I'm guessing it was in the early 90s or something like that, when computer technology became more widespread. There was a Yid in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak. His name was he's still alive, he's still working. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Chinagel. Rabbi Yaakov Chinagel, with the help of a computer, created a computerized Tikkun Seifrim. So he took the Davidovich Tikkun and, in a way, made it even better. And many Seifrim switched from the Davidovich Tikkun and they started using the Chinagel Tikkun. About 15 years ago or so, there's another Yid in Bnei Brak. His name is Rav Nachmani. And Rav Nachmani, with more advanced technology, created an even better Tikkun. And again, each time, for us, it sounds like crazy, like what's the big deal? But for a Seifer, where literally every millimeter makes a difference, the more perfect the Tikkun is, the better and the nicer the Ksav will come out. And what they were able to do is they were able to correct spacing issues. They were able to set it up in a way where letters didn't have to be stretched. They're able to set it up in a way where tagim from a letter won't be going up into the airspace of the letter above it. Like if there's an endachof coming down, and there are tagim going up. So if you have a good tikkun, the tikkun will be able to be set up in a way that those issues will be avoided. 5 or 6 years ago, this fellow that we're calling Goldberg, he came along, and he made a new tikkun. And his tikkun was the greatest tikkun in the history of the world. He mamish revolutionized it. He used state-of-the-art technology. He color-coded things. So, for instance, one of the halachas when writing a Sefer Torah is that a Sefer has to be Mekadosh L'Shem Hashem. So before he's writing, Bereishis Bara. So he starts writing, he says, L'Shem Kedush HaReini, Koyzit L'Shem Kedush HaSefer Torah. He writes the word Bereishis Bara, gets up to the word Elikim. Before writing the word Elikim, he has to say, HaReini Koyzit L'Shem Kedush HaShem. So this Goldberg, he made the Shemus color-coded. They're a different color than the other letters. Now there are different types of Shemus. Sometimes you have a Shem that it's a suffix if it's a Shem Choyl or a Shem Kodesh. Right, there are many places in the Torah where there are different ways to read the Shem. It could be read as referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it could be read as referring to people or Malachim. Right, B'Tzelem Elikim Baro Oysam. Shem created man. B'Tzelem Elikim. This is Machlokes Rishonim. If B'Tzelem Elikim means in the way of God, or if it means Malachim. So what does one do, what does a Sefer do when he gets up to such a shame? So the place can say what a Sefer should do is he should be Mekadosh al Tnai, which means that he should say one of two versions. Either he should say HaReini Kaisiv L'Shem Kedushas HaShem Im Zeh Shem, or he should make what's called a Tnai Kofel. He should say HaReini Kaisiv L'Shem Kedushas HaShem Im Zeh Shem V'im Lav HaReini Kaisiv L'Shem Kedushas HaShem Stam, or some other version like that. It's not Makiv which Lashon he uses, but... So this Goldberg, what he did was, he color-coded the Shemus. So you can know if it's a suffix, if it's a vadai, if it's a shem chayil, and whatnot. And many seifrim switched to this tikkun. They started using this tikkun. They started using this tikkun over the last 5 or 6 years. I wouldn't say everybody, but many seifrim felt that this tikkun provided a great improvement in writing Sifrei Torah, and they switched to this tikkun. So the big scandal, the big tumult that's come up now, is that approximately a month ago, there was a fellow in Yerushalayim, who was a friend of mine, and he started to put together, started connecting dots. And he started to realize that he once heard from a sefer that he was using this Goldberg tikkun, and there was a mistake in there. And then he remembered about a year or two after that, he heard from a different cipher that he was using the Goldberg tikkun, and he found a mistake in there. And in the last 2-3 months, he heard it from a couple more ciphers until he realized, whoa, this is crazy. What's going on? A tikkun can't have a mistake. It's not an option. The tikkun has to be perfect. If the tikkun is not perfect, then the Sefer Torah that one is going to be writing is not going to be kosher, potentially. So he did... Like on the news, you have these exposés. He launched an investigation. And he started calling different seifrim and checking the tikkuns and doing a whole investigation. And in short order, he discovered dozens of mistakes in this tikkun. The question...
Can you clarify what kinds of mistakes?
Yes. There are all different kinds of mistakes that they found, and the truth is, as we speak, there are more mistakes being found every day. The mistakes cover a lot of different types of mistakes. Not a lot, 3 primary types of mistakes that we're aware of at the moment. One is what's called chaseiros v'yaseiros, which means that there are words that are spelled wrong. That's one mistake. A second mistake, which is much more severe, is, I'll tell you why it's more severe soon, is Psuchas Estumais. Sefer Torah is comprised of hundreds of paragraph breaks in the Torah. If you look in the Chumash, you'll see a Pei and a Samach, which stands for Psucha and Stuma. That means that in that spot where a new parasha is created, now we're beginning a new paragraph, and how to create a parasha Stuma and how to create a parasha Psucha, there are different halachas of how they're meant to be set up. if one writes a psucha instead of a stuma, or vice versa, or one creates a sheer parsha where there is no parsha, that passels the Sefer Torah. And they found in this tikkun places where there are psuchas instead of stumas, stumas instead of psuchas, and they found places where there are parashias where there's not meant to be a parasha. That's the second mistake. A third mistake, which they found, is, let's say you have a shame like Elohim Acherim. So Elohim Acherim obviously is Chol. It's referring to Avodah Zarah. What if somebody writes the shame Elohim Acherim? He says, Hareini Kaisel L'Shem Kedushas Hashem. He writes Elohim Acherim. What's the halacha of that shame? So this is a machlokes ha'paiskim. The Ramah is machshir. There are other paiskim, the Kesa Sefer, and others. Amachmir, they hold that it's possible. Passels the Sefer Torah. They found so far two places where in this tikkun, in a place where you had Shemus like that, Parshas Mishpatim, and he had those Shemus as Kodesh, when in fact they're Chol. So that's a machlokes ha'paiskim, what the halacha is in such a case. Now, so one would think, okay, so what's the big deal? We'll just check all the Sifrei Torah to see if they have these spelling mistakes, if they have these problems with these parashiyos. The Shemus, there's not too much you could do about. You either have to rely on the Mekilim, or perhaps it could be what's called Kailif the Shem. It's a different discussion for a different time. So just check it and see. The problem is that this fellow, anyone who ever made a tikkun before, had one standard tikkun that they produced, and they sold thousands of them. So even though in past tikkuns they did find mistakes sometimes, but they were mefarsim the mistake, and they corrected the mistake. This fellow, every time he knows, let's say everybody in this room is a Sefer, and I'm Goldberg, and everybody's ordering a tikkun from me. So when the first person called me and ordered his tikkun, so the tikkun costs about $500. So I sell him the tikkun, and he has his tikkun. And then he calls me and he orders a tikkun. Instead of just printing out another one and giving it to him, this fellow was constantly tinkering with the tikkun to make it better and better, which meant that every single file, every single client, I don't know, every single, but almost every single client got a new tikkun. And apparently what caused these errors is that in the system, in his computer, things jumped. Everybody knows when you open a PDF and you start playing around with it, things can go haywire. And that's what happened. So every single client, potentially, whoever bought these tikkuns, has a different set of errors in his tikkun. So it's very difficult to know what to look for. In other words, if you're looking in the Sefer Torah that you wrote for the problems that were in his tikkun, you may not have them. You may have different problems. The question is what to do. So if somebody's a Rav of a shul, and he has Sefer Torah in his shul that were donated or loaned or whatever it may be in the last 5-6 years, the prudent thing to do, first of all, is to call the person who sold the Sefer Torah and ask him, did the Sefer who wrote the Sefer Torah use this tikkun? Because, like I'm saying, he could have been using the Davidovich tikkun, he could have been using the Nachmani tikkun, he could have been using the Chenagel tikkun, and then there's no problem. So the majority of Seferim in the world have not necessarily switched to this tikkun. So if one finds out that the Sefer used one of the other tikkuns, then there's no problem, everything is fine. If the Sefer says that he did use this tikkun, so then it's very complicated. The Sefer Torah certainly should be computer checked, because the computer checks for spelling mistakes. Now, you're going to say, but it was already computer checked. So if it was already computer checked, so any spelling mistake that may have been in the tikkun would have been caught. So why do I have to computer check it again? The answer is, because this is a little behind the scenes, stam, how stam works. Let's say I'm a Sefer, and I write a Sefer Torah. Great, I finish the Sefer Torah, and I send it for a computer check. The computer turns up 23 spelling mistakes. Fine. Now, so what has to happen? What has to happen is those letters or those words have to be erased and rewritten. Erasing is a chokhmah. Not every sefer is so good at making erasures. Also, it's very time consuming. So, I don't like making erasures. Why would I want to make the erasures? It doesn't come out so nice, the client's going to be upset, it takes me a long time, I could write six mezuzahs in the interim. So what do? There are people who their profession is they do tikkunim. They're all over. You have in every Haredi city in Eretz Yisrael, even not Haredi city, you have people that they are mitaknim. The best one in the world is in Bnei Brak. There's a 2-week wait. You can send your, it's like a seamstress. You can send your stuff to him, and you have to wait 2 weeks until he gets to do your erasures for you. Sometimes the sefer will skip a line, and he'll have to erase 30 lines in a sefer Torah. This guy can erase 30 lines. Nobody will ever know the difference. So what I'll do is I'll take the sefer Torah with the list of the 23 mistakes. I'll send it to one of these mitaknim. What the mitaken does is he erases what needs to be erased. He redoes the sirtuk, and he sends it back to me with those areas blank. I now take the Sefer Torah with those 23 blank areas. I take out my Goldberg Tikkun, and I rewrite it properly. So what do? I just wrote the same mistake again. So the fact that the Sefer Torah was computer checked in the past does not necessarily, so far, by the way, as of this morning, they found already 15 Sefer Torah that were in use all over the world that had mistakes that were psulim gemurim because of this tikkun.
This problem catches psulim.
Ah, as far as spelling mistakes, so it should be sent again for another computer check if the Sefer used this tikkun, to ensure that there are no spelling mistakes. As far as psuchos estumos, there is one program that does check for psuchos estumos. They updated it about, I don't know how long ago, a few years ago. It's called the DUK Tour program. And the DUK Tour program does check for psuchos estumos if the person has the most up-to-date version. In other words, if you have a guy who owns the way it works is like this. DUK Torah, let's say they started, I don't know what it was, let's say 25 years ago. So I bought the DUK program. I have the DUK program, and I check Stam on my computer program for spelling mistakes. Now, DUK, they'll contact me. I actually do have the DUK program. So they'll contact me every couple of years, and they'll say, we updated the program. If you want the updated version, send us $500 and we'll send you the updated version. Now, a lot of people who have the program will say, what do I need the new version for? The old version is working fine. I don't always have to update it. It's like on your phone, every app. You don't have to update the app just because they're sending you an update. The app has been working fine until now. I don't need to update it. So the fact that it offers more new fancy gadgetry features doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has the most up-to-date version. So the up-to-date version of the DUK Tour program does check for psuchos estumos. So that also can be averted. As far as Seamus, there's really nothing to do, because the only thing that you can really do is track down the sefer who wrote the Sefer Torah and ask him to go through the thousands of Seamus in the Sefer Torah to ensure that everything that's supposed to be Kodesh is Kodesh, everything that's supposed to be Chol is Chol, and everything that's supposed to be Suffolk is a Suffolk. Now, if something is a Suffolk and he was Mekadesh it for sure, that's not such a big deal. But like we said before, if something is Vaday Chol and he was Mekadesh it, so that's a Shaila, Machlekes HaPoskim. Now, they have not yet found a place where it's Vaday Kodesh and he wrote Chol. They have not yet found that. That would be possible according to everybody. They did find, this is like a mind-boggling thing, in one of his mezuzah tikkuns, so you have Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the top line. They found in one of his mezuzah tikkuns that he had given somebody, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Kodesh, Elokeinu, suffix. So I don't know if any cipher actually would have been Mekadosh al-Tanai, but whatever, even if he did, it would be kosher. But just like some of the mistakes are mind-boggling. So it's a big problem. It's a big issue. What to say? That's the best that I could say. Contact the person who sold the Sefer Torah, find out if this tikkun was used. If the tikkun wasn't used, everything is fine. If the tikkun was used, it has to go for a computer check for chaseris v'yaseris. It has to be checked either manually or by a computer for psuchas v'stumas. And shemus, I don't know if it's shayach to check. It would require a tremendous amount of homework on the cipher. And there's nothing the shul could do about it. You have to just track down the cipher and ask him to just by the way, the cipherim didn't do anything wrong. The cipherim here are tzaddikim. They tried to give their consumers the most mahudr product that they could. They bought the newest, best thing. They were totally doing what they did b'tam lev. They would, the cipherim are totally okay over here. It's this fellow that it's very, very difficult to understand. You know, and all the other scandals that we have in Kashrus or whatever, so why did the person do it? He did it because he was making a lot of money, so he did it. It was he was nichshal and a nisayon. He didn't have enough Yerushamayim. With this fellow, it's very, very difficult to understand how such a thing could have happened. Like, there's no motive. He doesn't gain anything by not fixing the tikkun. He doesn't gain anything by... He didn't... I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but he certainly was negligent.
And chaseris and yaseris are off. Doesn't that mess up the whole pagination? I mean, how do people not notice that they were writing? If every Sefer Torah has been pretty much standard.
A regular Sefer Torah, after it's written, has... an average Sefer Torah has between 40 and 100 spelling mistakes that the cipher made. Of those 40 to 100 spelling mistakes that he made, 95% of them are letters that he left out. Notice it's rare that a cipher will add a letter that's not in the tikkun. Almost always, when you're dealing, notice a lot of times it's what's called a mukhlaf. A mukhlaf means that there was, let's say, a base and he made a mem stuma. By the way, the reason why this happens is because in these new, fancy, new, updated tikkuns, it's like a stencil. So you have a light table, like for checking rice, you have a light table, you have the tikkun on the light table, you have the klaf on top of the tikkun, and the cipher mamish just copies exactly on top of the letters. So very often, if the klaf is a little bit thick, the cipher doesn't see the tikkun properly, so he could write a chaf instead of a beis, he could write a vav instead of a yud, he could write a mem stuma instead of a beis, things like that. Those things are very, very common. But as far as adding a letter, it's very rare that a cipher will add a letter into the text that's not in the tikkun. Like I said, probably 95% of the time when there's a spelling mistake, it's a letter that's missing. So then, yeah, but it messes up the pagination. How does it work? Teretz is, it happens. It happens. He'll stretch or he'll stretch a different letter. But a lot of times when you see letters that are very stretched, that indicates that there was a spelling mistake there, that he left out a letter.
As a Baal Kori, should we be misspoke then when we're seeing stretches like that then?
If you see a lot of stretched letters, then the truth is it usually doesn't mean that there are spelling mistakes. Usually it just means that the cipher is a beginner and he doesn't know how to write properly with the tikkun. That's usually what it is. But it could sometimes, if you see it in a single place, like a resh, that's, double the length of a regular resh. If the cipher was using a modern tikkun, it's strange that such a thing should come up. So either he lost track of the tikkun, or he skipped the letter somewhere. Yeah?
Did this tikkun use Vavei Amudim? And if so, how could that be maintained with all these errors?
It does have Vavei Amudim. Vavei Amudim means that there's a hiddur that's brought down in the Rishayim that every column in the Sefer Torah should begin with a Vav, with the exception of six, Bikar Shmai, the Beis of Bereshis, the Yud of Yehuda Yala, the Hey of Habayim, Shin, there are three Shitas where the Shin is, the Mem is Matoy Boy Lech Yaakov, And the Vav is Va'aida Bam in Parshas Hazino. Those are the six places of Bakashmai where the beginning of the Kalam doesn't start with the Vav, even though one of the Bakashmais is a Vav. But the other 239 columns begin with a Vav. So you're asking an interesting question, which I don't know the answer to. With these mistakes that he made, did that mess up the Vav Ha'amudim also? I don't know.
With all that erasure, if you have a Shem Hashem in there, does he have to bury the Kapil, that whole...
So when there's a Shem Hashem, it's a big halachic shaila how to deal with it. The person could learn the sugyas for a couple of weeks. Lamaisa, bottom line, skipping from A to Z. Lamaisa, what they do is, these mitaknim, some of them have an extra degree, another master's in what's called klifa. Klifa is like when you peel a carrot, so you're klif the carrot, right? So there are seifim that know with a razor blade, they can be klif a Shem Hashem. So they lift the entire Shem Hashem off the klaf in one shot. So like that, according to the Paiskin that are Mekel, you're not being meichik the Shem Hashem, and you're able to continue with your mechika that you wanted to do. So there's a whole industry. That shame has to, yeah, that shame has to go on to Geniza. Yeah, that shame.
What's it sitting on? What is it?
It's sitting on an extraordinarily thin piece of cloth. Now, the cloth has a thickness, let's say this shtender, right? You have a thickness here. So when they're kailif, so 90% of this wood will still remain. So when they do the klifa, so you have, and that was a lot of times, the kailif, before he does the klifa, he'll look at the klaf to see if there's enough mass there for him to be kailif the shame. Sometimes he'll tell you, I can't be kailif the shame because the klaf is too thin. But there's a whole industry of klifa, it's 30 shekel per shame, and you can get your, sometimes at the end of a Sefer Torah, Sefer will come to the kailif with the six shemus that he doesn't remember if he was Mekadosh or not. 180 shekel later, he's good to go. So that's how they deal with the shamus usually. Again, it's a halachic shaila, it's a long discussion, but skipping the whole discussion, that's how they deal with it. So,
if you're willing to just be, if you're willing to be samech on the rabbah, as far as the shamus, so as long as you get it, if you first find out that it was written with this thing, then you get a computer checked again, and then you make sure that it gets checked, the computer check includes... Includes the
Psumas,
then you're good.
You're good assuming that he didn't get a tikkun with Seamus that are messed up in a way that we're not aware of. Notice there is a list. I think I sent it to you. There's a list of all the mistakes that they found so far. So somebody could check the Sefer Torah in all those places. Notice there's a certain amount of ishtad. It's also a question of what the odds are. Notice what are the chances that the Sefer Torah that you have has a problem. It's hard to know.
What percentage of the Sefer Torah that have been written in the last 3 years have been using this ticket roughly?
My best guess? 20%. That would be my best guess.
So where does Rav come in?
No, so you definitely... So if you just stam are the Rav of a shul and there's four Sefer Torah in your Aron. Okay, let's forget four. There's one Sefer Torah that you know was written in the last 5 years, right? So first of all, what are the odds that it was written with this tikkun? Reif says it wasn't. Even if it was, what are the odds that you have a mistake? Reif also says it wasn't, because most of the tikkuns that he gave out were okay, we think. It seems to be. Notice they didn't find mistakes in every single tikkun. They found mistakes in a lot of them. How many tikkuns he sold, there's a number that he gives, which it's probably double or triple that amount. It's hard to know exactly how many he sold. And even if you know how many he sold, very often a cipher will get like a bootleg copy. They'll copy the tikkun and then they'll... If I'm a cipher and I want to buy the tikkun, so I call the guy up and I tell him I want to buy the tikkun. So he doesn't send me a file. If he sends me a file, his whole business is down the drain. I'll just use the file and sell the tikkun myself. He sends me a hard copy. And that's what the cipher needs, is a hard copy. So first of all, a lot of seifrim lend their friends. I finished a sefer Torah now. He's writing a sefer Torah now, so I'll lend him my tikkun. So a lot of times they share it. Sometimes, like I said, there's a bootleg copy. They somehow can reproduce the tikkun from what they have. So It's very hard to know. It's very hard to know. Again, there's definitely a large rav that probably says that the Sefer Torah is okay, but when it's Efshel Levure, it's Efshel Levure. So as much as one can check.
Sefer Parsha Zohar, so you're doing a mitzvah to Rabbanan with all these rows, you know, I mean, how far, and it's expensive to buy that perfect Sefer Torah somewhere.
So what's the question?
So I'm saying, what would you recommend to Rabbanim who are, you know, again, the mitzvah that they're mekayim is Rabbanim, they have all these robes.
Well, first of all, if I was running the world, I would not have been mefarsin the whole thing yet. You know, in my personal opinion, I think that they were mefarsin it too quickly, because, like, even now, it's a month later, and we're still lacking a lot of information. So if it was up to me, I would have tried to gather as many facts as I could before publicizing it and creating widespread panic. So now there is widespread panic, and it is public, and it's highly questionable how much there is to do. So what's my recommendation to Rabbanim? If it's Parsha Zachar, and you have three Sefer Torah in the Aron, and two of them you know were written more than 5 years ago, so probably use those. On the other hand, if the two that you have that were written 10 years ago are Shvacha Sifrei Torah, and the new one is a really good one, so then I would probably try and do as much homework as I could to see if it was written with this tikkun and put it through, you know, do as much as I can to try and deal with it.
How much nemarit? I assume Shul buys the Sefer Torah, they buy it himself. How much nemarit does he have of this? Calling him up and asking him.
The Seferim, I don't think...
I mean, they know what they use.
Yeah, the Seferim, I don't think, have too much negius over here to say a sheker. Because the Sefer, he didn't do anything wrong. In other words, if you call a guy up and you say, did you eat in McDonald's yesterday? So if he did, he's not going to say yes, right? But if you ask the guy, did you use this tikkun? It's not like he didn't have avera. He didn't do anything wrong. He was trying to give you a better product. So, I mean, I myself have called Seferim and asked them, did you use it? And one guy told me, yes, I did. And I checked my tikkun against the list that was put out, and everything is okay. So, you know, I think the Seferim on this issue...
I think that would be the first thing the rep should do, assuming...
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You should, that's what I said. You should speak to the person who sold the Sefer Torah and try and find out if they used this tikkun. And I don't see any reason why the Sefer would lie about this. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay.